President Obama is defending the National Security Agency's massive domestic data gathering projects. Because in the past 2 days, newspaper reports have revealed the extent of the NSA's phone and internet operations. But today, the president says he's done a careful review of the law, only foreign terrorists are being targeted for scrutiny, and that safeguards are in place to protect Americans.
Nobody is listening to your telephone calls. That's not what this program's about. As was indicated, the intelligence community is doing is looking at phone numbers and durations of calls. They are not looking at people's names, and they're not looking at content.
Well, The Guardian newspaper reported yesterday that the National Security Agency is monitoring Verizon phone call information of millions of Americans. Today, The Washington Post reports on an NSA data mining project called PRISM that directly taps servers at almost every major internet company, including Microsoft, Yahoo, Google, Facebook, Skype, YouTube, and Apple. Barton Gellman is a contributor to The Post and co-author of today's front page story. Bart, welcome.
Thank you.
First, I wonder if you could just briefly describe to us what PRISM is.
PRISM is very interesting. We thought we knew a lot in general terms about what the NSA programs were, because all of them grew out of things that initially were done warrantlessly and solely on presidential authority under President Bush. This one's new. No one knew about it. And it may be pretty much without precedent, because what they're doing is, instead of standing on the pipes of the internet and of the phone system and intercepting things as they go by, they are going directly to the major internet providers and communications providers sort of the globe, which are the Silicon Valley giants, all of them, interestingly, other than Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But the NSA, working through the FBI, has now direct access to information on the servers of each of these companies. Now, the companies are quick to deny that they're letting the NSA tap directly into their servers, which is what the document that I have says specifically. And I think I now know that it was imprecisely stated in the document, because I've got other authoritative information that says that, in effect, the NSA is putting a black box on company property next to the servers that is capable of being directly queried.
So, Barton, just to be clear, in your story today in The Post, you wrote that several companies contacted by The Post said they had no knowledge of the program.
Oh, no. The companies do know it. They were concerned about the image of allowing the NSA to put a pipe straight into their server. So instead, what there is there's this intermediate box. But the box can still query the server directly. Practically speaking, it makes very little difference, but it was an important symbolic point for the companies, and it did give them something they could deny, frankly. They're being very careful, but you have to parse them very carefully. For example, Apple says, we've never heard of PRISM. Well, that's quite possible, because there's no reason that the NSA guy and the FBI guy in the suit who show up at the door have to tell them the code name.
Barton, in your reporting today, you reveal some fascinating things about how important this data is to the NSA. Like, for example, you write that NSA reporting increasingly relies on PRISM as one of its leading sources of raw material, and that the tool is the most prolific contributor to the president's daily brief, which cited PRISM data in almost 1,500 items last year. So when we say that electronic communications are being monitored by the NSA, does that mean that content is being swept up too? What exactly are they looking at?
They're looking at everything from metadata, which means who you're talking to, when, where you are, what are the unique device signatures of whatever gadget you're on, and content, but not for everybody. The NSA says, and I believe, that they do not knowingly target Americans, but they do knowingly and inevitably acquire a lot of American data and content. That's because they do something called contact chaining, which means if they are targeting, you know, Joe terrorist, they're going to acquire everything in that terrorist's inbox, you know, however you define the inbox. Could be voice calls, videos, files, actual emails, and other things. And that means that every one of those people is now a direct link to the terrorist who they're going to explore. They call that going out one hop, usually for contact chaining when they're sort of drawing a map of the terrorists or the suspected terrorists or foreign spies network. They go out two hops, and every time you go out a hop, you're increasing exponentially the number of people who are swept in. Lots of people remember the whole idea of the 6 degrees of separation. If you go out six hops, it's been mathematically shown you're likely to get everyone on the planet.
Right.
So you get to very big numbers very fast.
So let me ask you, all of this is going on because of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And my understanding is that in years past, when the FISA court allowed searches of information or data, it had to be done on an identified individual. Isn't that the big difference here? I mean, you were talking about data of Americans being swept up, even if it wasn't necessarily the target. But yet, you know, we have a massive expansion of the realm of surveillance now.
We do. And that is a remarkable thing. It's nothing like anything the FISA court has ever done before. You're right. It used to be you had to have probable cause to believe that both your target, meaning the person, and the facility, which is the term of art in the law, meaning the place, the phone number, the email address was considered a facility, were involved in terrorism. You had to have individualized evidence that would demonstrate probable cause. Now they are being allowed to define facility so broadly that it includes the whole thing, the entire server at Google, and so on. And so the way that the court is doing that is by saying you're going to have rules that restrict what you take in and under what circumstances and, quote unquote, minimize the exposure of American content without warrant. But it is indisputably sweeping up much, much more than it used to.
Well, Barton Gellman is a contributor to The Washington Post. He was co-author of the front page story today about data mining and the NSA. Barton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, for years now, at least two former highly placed NSA employees have said that the government is monitoring domestic communications. William Binney was one. He resigned 1 month after the attacks on September 11th because he says the agency turned the software he designed to eavesdrop on foreign terrorists towards domestic surveillance. Binney blew the whistle and was then the subject of a years-long criminal investigation. Something similar happened to another top NSA whistleblower. Thomas Drake became the first person indicted by the Obama administration for violations of the Espionage Act. Charges were eventually dropped in both cases. Journalist James Bamford has covered the NSA for years, and he was part of Drake's defense team. And James, not many people may know about Binney and Drake, but they haven't been quiet, have they?
Since the times they've left NSA, they've been very outspoken in their viewpoint that the NSA illegally spies within the United States on American citizens, but they had no proof of that. There was just their word. And so these revelations that come out in these new documents in The Guardian and The Washington Post pretty much confirm what they were saying.
Well, so obviously the government is claiming that this is legal. I mean, but what's your interpretation of that? To seize essentially the records of millions of Americans, whether they're telephone or internet records, does seem to, you know, challenge at least, you know, one interpretation of the Fourth Amendment.
Well, I've never ever heard the government ever say whatever they do is illegal.
Right.
I've never ever heard that in my life. So they always say it's legal. Specifically, what this refers to is there's this provision in the Patriot Act where the government can go in and ask a company to provide business records in the case of an investigation. At one point, you had to say that this would be relevant to an investigation. Now you don't even have to say that. You just have to go in there and ask for business records. So what they've done is they've taken this to an extreme, and they walk into Verizon, for example, and they say, give me your business records. They take this minor little part of the Patriot Act, and they expand it to getting everybody's communications in the United States. It's absurd, but that's the way the legal system works sometimes.
Well, James, last night, the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, released a statement saying, quote, the unauthorized disclosure of top secret U.S. court documents threatens potentially long-lasting and irreversible harm to our ability to identify and respond to the many threats facing our nation. Again, that's from James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence. But in that statement, he also added that Congress recently reauthorized a section of the FISA Act that authorizes these kinds of programs from the NSA. So I'm just wondering, from your perspective, how much should we look to Congress for the expansion of domestic surveillance in the United States?
Back when they created the Senate and House Intelligence Committees in 1975, the whole idea was that these committees would act as watchdogs over the intelligence community. They'd be basically the buffer between the intelligence community and the American public. And that role is very much switched, so that the Congress these days has become a little more than a cheering gallery for the intelligence community. The whole oversight watchdog aspect has disappeared. So as you can see in this case here, there was very little debate, hardly any debate at all, over the reauthorization of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Amendments Act. So that was why this thing was renewed. And that's how you have another 4 or 6 years, whatever, of this law.
For you, James Bamford, who've been someone like you who's been following the story for so many years, what have these latest revelations told you? What insight has it given you on the status of domestic surveillance in the United States?
Well, on the positive note, I was pleased to see that even despite the Obama administration's crackdown on whistleblowers, there are still a few brave people out there willing to risk their liberty to reveal what these people consider wrongdoing by the government. Other than that, it's a confirmation of what I've written and what a lot of people have spoken about for many years. We hardly ever, I mean, very, very rarely ever see an actual document come out of either the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court or NSA, especially one that's only a month old and classified top secret code word. So it's very rare you actually see what happens, and in this case, it's a confirmation of a lot of worries that people have had that the NSA has turned domestic. You know, the government always comes up with some reasons. It's always terrorism. They use terrorism as an excuse to do almost everything. So it's not surprising they're going to come out and say that this is useful in stopping terrorism. But on the other hand, I know a lot of people in the intelligence community are critical of this, and they say that the bigger you build the haystack, the harder it is to find the needle. So what NSA keeps doing is putting more and more hay on this haystack with more and more data it keeps acquiring, and it makes it more and more difficult to find that one little needle hidden in there. And instead, they should hire people that are better at finding needles rather than hiring people that are better at loading the pile with more hay.
James Bamford is the author of The Shadow Factory, the ultra-secret NSA from 9/11 to the eavesdropping of America. James, thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on your show.
Remember, you can let us know what you think about anything you hear on the show, including the NSA's domestic surveillance, at hereandnow.org. A little later in the program today, as the U.S. draws down troops in Afghanistan, China is moving in with an eye to the country's natural resources. Back in a minute, Here and Now.